بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم يأني للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق، ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected elders, beloved brothers, it is indeed the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us this opportunity again to speak of the deen of Allah, to listen as far as the deen of Allah is concerned. Many of people who were here some time back are no longer here with us, and that benefit which could have been achieved is no longer achieved. Allah Rabbul Izzat, through His infinite grace and mercy, bestows those opportunities on people. And when a certain time comes, those opportunities are taken away. Love brothers, while we have the opportunity, let us see how we utilize it to the best of our ability. We have Ramadan on our doorstep. Before the approach of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua in abundance: Allahumma ballighna fi, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna ila Ramadan. That, oh Allah, give us blessings in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and give us the opportunity to see the month of Ramadan. So this is something which we should ask from Allah. It is something we should look forward to. It is something we should treasure when it comes. Because like this year had passed by us just like that. The year had passed by in such a short space of time, a year is gone. And like we're sitting here today, in the next few days, few weeks time, we'll be saying that those who have benefited from Ramadan did so, and those who didn't had missed out. It's going to go by just like that. It will go by just like that. There will be those who are sitting now and having intentions who didn't carry it out, and Ramadan will be gone. There will be the person who will sit and think, I must pay Sadaqatul Fitr, and before you look, you open your eyes, it is the day of Eid, and then you start to look for somebody who must pay, it must be paid to. That is how time will be going by in front of us. Beloved brothers, that is why before the time approaches, we generally use it as a reminder. The time is coming, this is what we need to do, this is how it should be done. Let us see who of us can do it the best as possible, not to show somebody else, but so that on the day when we stand in front of Allah Rabbul Izzat, we are standing there and we have something to show in our accounts. The day when you come, when you go shopping and you come by the till and you give your card to pay, what does it feel like if they swipe the card and it say denied, declined? What happens? I thought I have money in the account, in the meantime it's empty. And then you must think, what can I take off from my list? Or I take that off, okay, I think I have that amount of money and pay for it. Imagine on the day when you're standing in front of Allah Rabbul Izzat, when your account is being presented in front of Allah Ta'ala, and you need that amount to enter into paradise forever and forever, and then you run short, what you're going to do? Allah save us from that. Before we continue, these spaces inside the masjid, let us inshallah try to fill it. Beloved brothers, there is many things that is happening on the face of the earth, and like everybody is well aware of the fact that as things happen, we generally have a habit that we discuss and we talk about it. But in this day and age, there is certain things that is happening which I am not sure if I must talk about it or I should not discuss about it. I see Mawlana Wadia is here and many other ulama also, so you can bear us out on that. Right? I read one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just a pity I didn't see Mawlana before the time, otherwise we would have made him speak. Um, I read one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where it is mentioned about something that is going to happen amongst the Arab lands, that there is going to be some fitna that is going to take place, some difficulty that is going to take place, whether it is in the form of fighting or whatever the case might be. And Allah Rabbul Izzat is going to use this tastanziful Arab. It is going to clean out the lands of the Arabs. Whether it is happening now or it is happening or it is not happening now, I do not know. Allah Rabbul Izzat knows when it will happen and how it will happen. But what is mentioned further in hadith, this is what is has made me think about it. I don't know, do we discuss about it or don't we discuss about it? Whereby Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-lisanu, the tongue at that moment in time is going to be ashaddu min waq'i sayfi fiha. Is going to be worse than the person who is dropping the sword or is killing somebody at that time. So to turn around now and say that, you know what, this is happening because of that, or this trouble that is happening in Egypt and in Syria and in Libya and Tunisia and the difficulty that is going through in Sudan and in Yemen, all the different things that is happening at this moment in time. For us to talk about it now, I don't know if we should mention anything about it or not. My choice was that I rather leave it out and we discuss what is affecting us at this moment in time and what we are being faced with. Why? Because Rasulullah ﷺ said, at that point in time, the person who is going to talk about it, he's in a worse position than the person who is killing somebody at that time. So let us take it as a lesson also. That people have this tendency that we must discuss politics and big things. But beloved brothers, what is happening in the Arab world, keep your mouth out of it. Least you become worse than the American or the whoever it is that is killing an Arab person at that point in time. Understood? So, keep the mouth quiet. Like Mulana Tahir spoke last week, that there is times when a person can say something and it will take him to the deepest part of the fire of Jahannam. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. What we want to discuss about today is the recitation of the Holy Quran. I was listening to a few talks by a few of the great ulama and I feel that it is something that I should pass on. One Ali mentioned and he said that if you want to measure your presence, if you want to measure the amount of your presence under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should do so by measuring the amount of time you spend with the Holy Quran. I see a lot of people are looking at me like I'm speaking a different language. I'll repeat myself again. If you want to measure the amount of time or your presence, if you want to measure your presence under the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understood? If you want to measure how much of mercy Allah Rabbul Izzat has on you, then you should measure it by the amount of time you spend with the Holy Quran. So if we start from zero, or let's start from the other end. A person who spends a lot of time of his day and night with the recitation of the Holy Quran, he can be rest assured that that amount of time, Allah's mercy is descending on him. Less from that, a person who reads Quran sometimes in the day, sometimes in the night, he will be getting that amount of mercy from Allah Rabbul Izzah. A person who will read one juz of the Holy Quran, that amount of time that it will take him to read it, that is his level of achieving mercy from Allah. That person who recites one Surah Yasin every day only, that is the amount of mercy that he receives from Allah Rabbul Izzah. And that person who reads one page of the Holy Quran only, that is the amount of mercy he receives from Allah. And may Allah save us. But the person who doesn't touch the Holy Quran from day to day, you can imagine where that person is as far as the mercy of Allah is concerned. The amount of attention you pay to the Quran, that is the amount of attention Allah Rabbul Izzat pays to you. The yardstick. Everybody understood what I'm saying. If somebody don't understand, then put your hand up and explain it again. The amount of attention you give to the Holy Quran, that is the amount of attention Allah Ta'ala gives to you. That goes for you, for your wife, for your children, for your parents, brother, sister, whoever the case may be. The amount of time every individual gives to the Quran, that is the amount of time Allah Ta'ala gives to that individual. When I heard it, it affects like a hole. Like the sound of the bullet. It has that type of an effect on the heart. That how much time do we actually spend with the Holy Quran? That is why we find the month of Ramadan coming and it is not even possible to complete one whole recitation of the Holy Quran. One of the other ulama that was speaking, he mentioned to us. And he said, there's times where we say that stand and listen to the recitation of the Quran or read the Holy Quran, it is a practice of Rasulullah SAW. He explained it to us in detail and he said, no, it is not like that. The practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the month of Ramadan was such that he used to read the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you want to fulfill that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever portion of the Holy Quran you know from memory, or if it is a person who has memorized the entire Quran, if you want to fulfill that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you got to read all of that to somebody else who is sitting and listening to you. Then only have you fulfilled that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his last Ramadan that he was alive, he recited the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam twice. That is besides all the other reading of Quran. The practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the normal time was such that every night in Tahajjud Salat, Allah's Nabi used to recite a great portion of the Holy Quran. Like I did mention the hadith once, where the Sahabi says that, I went and decided to stand behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Salat this one night. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started, and he started with Suratul Baqarah. Allah's Nabi recited from the Holy Quran. And the time went, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paused at the end of every ayat. Where there was the ayat of Jannah, he used to make dua to Allah. Where there was an ayat of Jahannam, he used to seek refuge in it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he carried on reciting like this. As we came towards the end of the first juz, I thought that maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to make ruku now. But Allah's Nabi carried on. He carried on reciting. He finished the second juz. He carried on reciting till we came towards the end of Suratul Baqarah, which is almost the half of the third juz. In our Taraweeh, we read, for the first four nights, we read 1.25 juz. We start the first two rakats, after two rakats, some people are going out. After four rakats, some people are going out. After eight rakats, a whole big group is walking out. So the Sahabi says that I'm standing behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's reaching now the half of the third juz. And I thought maybe when he finishes the first surah, he's going to make ruku. But he did not. He carried on. And he carried on reading further into the Quran. The first time Rasulullah ﷺ made ruku for that night was when he reached the first quarter of the seventh juz of the Holy Quran. And then he made ruku. His ruku was close to as long as he stood in salat. And then he carried on with his salat. When he made sajda, his sajda was almost as long as his ruku. So Allah's Nabi used to recite Quran like that a lot on his own. But from the practices of Rasulullah ﷺ for the month of Ramadan, is whatever portion you know of the Holy Quran, to sit down and read it to somebody else who will be listening to you. Beloved brothers, of the most dangerous things that could happen to any person, many of us, when we were young, we learned certain surahs when we went to madrasa. There's many who attempted to become hafiz of Quran, learn 4 juz, 5 juz, 8, 10, 12, some even more than that. Beloved brothers, the most dangerous thing that a human being, a Muslim, can do is to forget any portion of the Holy Quran that he has memorized in his lifetime. It is mentioned that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken on Mi'raj, they were seen, one person was seen where the angel was standing next to him with a rock and crushing his head. And then the head comes back to normal and he takes the rock and he crushes the person's head. And this was carrying on and on and on. When it was inquired, what happened to this man? What did he do? So it was mentioned that it is a person who had memorized some portion of the Holy Quran and then he had forgotten it. Then he had forgotten it. So go back in your life. If you learn Surah Yasin and you can't remember it, make sure before you dead you know it. If you learned one juz of the Holy Quran, you learned the whole of Amma or any surahs in it, then make sure before you die that you know it. It's more important than all the money you will make on the face of the earth. Beloved brothers, from amongst the advices that they were giving us, the ulama were giving us, one of the things that they mentioned is, to when a person is reciting the Holy Quran, that it's supposed to have such an effect on your heart, that while you are reading Quran, tears are supposed to be flowing from your eyes. One narration is mentioned of a person by the name of Abu Yazid. It is mentioned that he was a very pious person in his time. And he was asleep one night. And he seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. And Allah's Nabi instructed him that, "Oh Abu Yazid, recite the Holy Quran." So he says that, "In my dream I was excited. Allah's Nabi is there telling me to recite the Holy Quran." And he started reading and he read and he read and he read. For whatever amount of time it carried on, and he was reciting the Holy Quran. And after a point it came by where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that, "Oh Abu Yazid, the recitation of the Quran is carrying on, but فَأَيْنَ الْبُكَاءَ, where is the crying? There's no sign of any tears from your eyes." Then one of the other stories that was mentioned was that of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A point came in the life when the persecutions of Makkah Mukarramah was becoming very difficult. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked, "O Nabi of Allah, give me permission, I want to make hijrah, I want to go somewhere where it is peaceful, where I can do the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allah's Nabi gave him permission. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leaving from Makkah Mukarramah. And he met a person by the name of Ibn al-Daghina. And he met him and he asked him, "Oh Abu Bakr, where are you off to?" And he said that, "Allah Ta'ala has created the land vast. And I'm going to a place whereby I can do the worship of Allah without the interference of the mushrikeen of Makkah." On his this person told him that, "How can a person like you leave Makkah Mukarramah? You are such a person who look after the poor. You look after the visitors. You are such a person who is involved with community. A person like you, we do not lose. A person like you is not allowed to leave the community." So he goes back with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to Makkah Mukarramah. And he told the kuffar of Makkah, the Quraysh, he told them that, "I give Abu Bakr peace. And you have to respect it. He is here under my watch. So if you have any problem with him, you will have to come and talk to me first before you can do anything." The Quraysh then told him that, "We have a problem with Abu Bakr. When he recites Quran, when he makes salat and he recites Quran, our families are becoming affected by it. Inna nakhsha, we are afraid, ayyaftina abna'ana wa nisa'ana, that he is going to create a problem as far as our woman and our children is concerned." The narration is mentioned in such a way that it is said that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to recite the Holy Quran, he was وَكَانَ رَجُلًا بَكَّاءً, he used to cry a lot when he recited the Holy Quran. It is mentioned that the kuffar of Makkah was saying that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reads the Quran and he cries while he is reading the Quran, our wives go and stand on a corner around there where he is standing and reading the Quran, and they go and listen to him. Our children would go in the quiet to a certain place where they could hear him, and they would go and listen to his recitation of the Quran. And because of that, it is mentioned that while he was reading Quran during that time, on a daily basis, either one of the women of Quraysh or one of the children of Quraysh would become Muslim. So this is becoming too much for us. That is why we want him out of here. But because this person had given him peace and he is under his protection, so they could not chase Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu away. So Ibn Daghina goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, I've arranged everything, just one request from the Quraysh. That when you read Quran, recite the Quran quietly, where people will not hear you. When you do the ibadat of Allah, do it in your house quietly. Sometime had gone by, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tried to put this into practice. It is mentioned after some time it became too much for him to bear. He then decided to make a small portion of his house a part of a masjid. And he used to make salat in the masjid in his house. It is mentioned, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was that type of a person that once he recited Quran for a while, it would then get the better of him. And he went back to his normal, where he would recite Quran aloud and he would cry aloud. And the woman and the children of Makkah Mukarramah started coming back again to come and listen to him. They then went back to Ibn Daghina and told him that, you know what? It's back to normal. So he comes back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he told him that, oh Abu Bakr, if you cannot keep up the condition that we have put, then I'm going to have to take my peace away from you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then replies, I am happy with the peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can take your peace. And he then continues in this fashion. So beloved brothers, what we understand from there, and from many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it is mentioned about Umar radiallahu anhu, that in the Salat of Fajr, he used to recite Surah Yusuf. He used to recite Surah Yusuf. That time they didn't have a fancy mic system like what we have and all the other masjids have. There was no mic system in Madinatul Munawwara. But it is mentioned that when Umar radiallahu anhu used to read Surah Yusuf in the morning in the Fajr Salat, you could hear, what do you call it in English, in Afrikaans, you say if a person snuck. What is the English word?
Sob.
Right. You could hear his sobbing until the third or the fourth saf of Masjid al-Nabawi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So beloved brothers, every time it is mentioned about Sahaba radiallahu anhum and about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the recitation of the Quran took place, with it there was crying of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? The only time when it will not happen is when the person's hopes and aspirations as far as worldly things are concerned overtakes him. Then only the crying will not happen while the recitation of the Quran takes place. Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Has the time not come for those who believe in Allah? أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That their hearts will tremble with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah is revealed, when Allah is mentioned, when Allah is remembered, وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And when that which has been revealed as truth is recited in front of them. وَلَا يَكُونُوا. Do not become كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Like those who were given the books before you. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. Their hopes as far as the world is concerned grew so much. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Most of them became such who transgressed the orders and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beloved brothers, let us see that how we can take our time. The month of Ramadan is coming. If you are not prepared with the recitation of Quran, then ask around and the month of Ramadan will come and it will go and you will not do it. So prepare yourself before that time comes, so that when the month of Ramadan does approach, we are able to spend much of our day and night with the Holy Quran. Like I said, keep that in mind. If you want to measure the amount of time you spend under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then measure the amount of time that you spend with the Holy Quran. Allah give us tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum.